Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many of you know you just need them to be a fence? Giving honor to God, who's the head of my life, and we're going to be obedient. Thank God for our Pastor Armstrong for the assignment on this morning, for entrusting it to me. And we thank God for you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to be obedient to the Spirit of God on this morning. Amen. Because as we were sitting there, the Lord began to speak, and he said that this day he sends a spirit of relief. And so as I'm sitting here and I'm listening to the worshipers go forth in worship, and they began to minister, Lord, I love you more than anything. Sometimes we get to a place in our lives where we have to recognize above and beyond what the thing is, our love for him. It's more than anything. And so as I'm sitting here and I'm trying to prepare and stay focused, I hear the Spirit of the Lord say that some of you have been concerned with the things. But God says, in this day, this time, he's given you a spirit of relief. And so sometimes when God ushers in a new spirit, a new season, we ought to give him a praise. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I just gotta lift my hands just to give the Lord some praise. Do you mind helping me worship him on this morning? Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God, we thank you. Hallelujah, God, we praise you, God. Hallelujah, God, we magnify you. Hallelujah, God, we exalt you. Hallelujah, God, for there's none like you. Hallelujah, God, we thank you for being our keeper. Hallelujah, God, we thank you for being our sustainer. Hallelujah, God, for you're worthy. Hallelujah. And I like the fact that they came back and told us that no matter what the things are, Jesus will be a fence. How many of you know that he'll be your hedge of protection? He'll protect you from the storms of life. And for that, we praise him on this morning. Hallelujah, God, we give you praise. Hallelujah, God, we give you praise. Oh, lift up your spirits on this morning. God says relief is here. And I don't know what you've been going through, what you've been wrestling with, what you've been struggling with. God says relief is here. My sister, if it's not for anybody else in the red shirt, the red jersey, God says it's for you. Relief is here. Hallelujah. We're going to be obedient on this morning. But every now and then we just need to be reminded that God is our relief. God is anything and everything we need. Oh God, I wish I could tell you the story. God is. And the scriptures are all in all. He is the beginning and the end. Nothing continues when he says stop. Oh God, I'm going to go ahead. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just, we're going to be coming from Acts, the 27th chapter. And we're going to be lifting up just three verses, but we'll kind of go through, summarize the text this morning. But we're going to be reading three verses in your hearing. We're going to be reading the 22nd. And then we're going to skip down to the 43rd and the 44th verses. That's Acts 27, verse 22, verse 43, and verse 44. And when you have that, just signify it by saying amen. And if you need me to wait, just say hold on. Amen. We are all at the same place at the same time. So the word of God reads on this wise. Acts 27, starting with the 22nd verse. And then we're going to read verse 43 and 44. 22. And now I exalt you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Verses 43 and 44 read, but the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Would you touch and agree with me right now? Father God, we thank you. We thank you for this is the day that you have made, oh God. We thank you for nothing happens unless you say so, oh God. So right now, God, we ask that you allow me to decrease, God, your Holy Spirit increase, oh God. And we believe you, God, that your word will take root and fall on good ground and in due season bear fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may have your seats. As we examine the 2017 hurricane season, we must admit and probably can all agree that this year's hurricane season has been a full-on assault from Mother Nature. We are under siege, and our attackers have benign names like Harvey, Irma, and Maria. But they are callous, powerful, indiscriminate, terrifying, destructive, merciless, and relentless. If I had to raise a thought for this morning, the thought would be, there is purpose in the storm. Again and again, the harshest of winds and the hardest of rains have pounded the most defenseless territories we have. The Caribbean islands hanging out in an open sea. The Florida Peninsula jutting out into danger. The Texas coastline low laying and concrete laden. Nearly a full month of back to back to back disasters. Look at your neighbor and said, there's still purpose in the storm. This hurricane season, which is not yet even close to being finished, has generated more destructive landfalling storms than the past few years combined. In fact, four of this year's monsters went on to become categories 4 or 5. And three of those made landfall in the U.S. territory. Many have wondered about the causes of such great shifts. I was even watching CNN one day, and they said, where's the hurricanes come from? And I was interested to learn that they said they all come from the same place, West Africa. And they said it has something to do with the heat in the water, and being on the west end of the African coast, it gains momentum in the ocean, and it hits us without relenting. So yes, the meteorologists would say that they come from the western coast of Africa, and then there are others who will blame or put the blame on global warming. But I can't help but wonder if there is a more significance in these storms. As I began to prepare for this morning, I began to take a closer look at our systems of storms during hurricane season. And I learned that the Atlantic hurricane season generally spans from June to November, with September reigning as the most active month. Our natural hurricane season usually falls during the fourth through the ninth months of the Hebrew calendar. Now, looking closely at the Hebrew calendar, the fifth month, Av, the month which represents the religious systems, and the sixth month, Elul, which represents the entertainment systems. If we look closely at these 2 months, we can learn a lot about the spirituality of our storms. You see, the month of Av literally means father, and it derives from the root which means to will or to desire. And it stands for the divine spirit of God. This month brings Israel to its lowest point in the Jewish calendar. It appears that many tragic events seem to take place against the children of Israel during this month. This is the month when people start to get a desire for the Father and start to turn back to the Father. Touch your neighbor and say, there's purpose in the storm. Now, according to the Hebrew calendar, the months of June through November bring a lot of transitions. Likewise, the sixth month, Elul, is a month of returning back to God, and is also called the month of Teshuvah. And I might not be pronouncing them right, but y'all forgive me.
That's all right. Come on now.
You see, in this month, we seek God with all of our hearts, because this is also the same month when God releases the atmosphere of intimacy and spiritual desires. In this month, God begins to prepare and to call out for separation of those people that are really hungry for his presence. What is a storm? Naturally, a storm is a violent disturbance of the atmosphere, with strong winds, rain, thunder, lightning, snow. And one can even define a storm as a tumultuous reaction, an uproar or controversy. It is a forceful move of various elements in a specified direction, and it usually results in a sudden attack or a result of that force. Our text this morning speaks to us about the impact of storms, because in our text we find Paul, who was held prisoner on a ship on his way to Italy to make an appeal before Caesar. Now, while on the way to Italy, a terrible storm arises. Once they set sail, they arrive the first day at the port of Sidon. Now, the interesting thing here is, when you read the text, you find that Paul is a prisoner. He's trying to go make an appeal for his situation. But when they reach the port of Sidon, the centurion trusts Paul enough to let him go hang with his friends, to go freely at liberty and refresh himself. Once Paul returns the next day, they set sail again and they find that the winds are contrary. Sometimes in our lives, things look okay and they seem to be going well, but we get that little indication that something is contrary to what's going on. We start seeing little disturbances, little annoyances. The contrary wind. So it is at this point that we first get the insight of the conditions of this voyage. They eventually embark a new ship in Alexandria, sailing into Italy, and they continue their journey. This lets me know that sometimes as we are traveling along, sometimes we have to change our positions. It doesn't mean that we get off course. It doesn't mean that we don't continue. But sometimes we just have to shift our positions, change our station of identification. You know, sometimes people become so familiar with who they think we are. And every now and then we need to shift. Every now and then people think they know what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, what you're going to say, when you're going to say it, but every now and then we need to just shift. Now, as they began to continue the journey, the winds, again, are disagreeable. But they continue sailing slowly. So now here's another shift. First, we change our position. Then we have to change our speed. Sometimes we have to slow up. Sometimes we have to speed up. So in this case, they find the winds are so contrary and they're working against them. We figure if we slow down, we can still get to our destination safely. So they take and they slow down. And after sailing for many days, they find themselves behind schedule. They find themselves late. They find themselves delayed. How many of you know that sometimes the conditions in our lives will cause us to be delayed? There's purpose in the storm. So they reach the Fair Havens. And at this point, Paul tries to warn them. He tries to warn them that if they continue, they will suffer great devastation by the storm. But of course, the centurion, he's more persuaded by what the professional, the captain of the ship, has to say. And so he doesn't take heed, and they continue sailing anyway, because it is the captain's perspective that they are not in a good place to stay for the winter. And so that they need to keep going to find a more favorable place to lodge for the winter. So they keep going and on their journey, and then something shifts. The Bible calls it south winds. They describe it as the south winds begin to blow softly. Sometimes we've been faced with so many contrary situations that we get a quick blow from the south. A quick moment of relief. And so it allows the people on the ship to gain hope that they're going to reach their destination safely. But just as fast as that quick wind from the south blows, they decide that they're going to keep going, but they're going to ride close to the shore. And just as fast as the winds come, they are confronted by a more violent wind, the northeaster. And it is at this point that they are caught in the midst of a most terrible storm. The truth is, storms at some point or another, we all will encounter a storm. Allow me to submit to you this morning that some storms are simply unavoidable. I don't care how much shifting you do. I don't care how much speeding up you do. I don't care how you pull back. I don't care how you turn 180 degrees. Some storms are simply unavoidable. And I've come to learn that the reason why these storms are unavoidable is because that the various storms we encountered have simply been preordained by God. We often experience, you know about the hurricanes and the tornadoes and the and the all kind of storms, but we often ourselves experience less obvious storms. Storms that are just as devastating as these natural disasters that we see. Storms just as devastating as this storm that Paul finds himself in. We encounter storms of divorce, storms of disease or death, storms of betrayal, storms of bankruptcy and blindness, storms of abuse. Anybody had a storm? Storms of adultery, storms of addiction that leave shattered lives, broken hearts, and shredded hopes. We've experienced storms that turn our dreams into nightmares. Has anyone ever been there? Yes, I need you to understand today that storms come even in God's will. For the word of God decrees that in the world we may have many tribulations, but we are to take courage, for Jesus has overcome the world. Here's the thing that I've come to realize, or I'm realizing the older I get. Sometimes we equate what has happened in our lives to being something that has happened to us. The impact of the storm will have on your life is completely different from the impact the storm will have on you. Wow. We're still talking about the purpose of the storm. Right. How many of you know that you can lose your job, you can lose your home, you can lose everything, and God yet be building a stronger you, a better you, a more integral you, a more faithful you, a more wiser you? What we lose builds something in us that can't be lost. Like Paul in the text, some storms you just have to ride out. You didn't want it. You didn't ask for it. You're not getting out of it. You can't get away from it. You just have to ride the storm out. Touch your neighbor and say, there's purpose in the storm. We can learn many things about being in the middle of a storm from Paul's experience. One thing we learn is that the purpose of anchors. When we began to read the text, when you read it in its entirety, I didn't want to read the entire 44 verses today, but if you read the entirety of the text, you will find that at different points in their journey, they begin to let out different types of anchors. One thing we learn, if according to Hebrews 6 and 19, is that this hope we have, an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast. So in essence, the hope of the gospel is our stability. And so there are what they call sea anchors. And I learned that the sea anchors don't ever touch the ground. The purpose of the sea anchors are just to hold the ship steady. Sometimes we have to, when we find ourselves in the middle of the storm, we have to allow the sea anchors of our hope to keep us steady. Around the 27th verse in the journey, when the winds first became contrary and the crew feared that they were going to hit the rocks, they let down the sea anchors. Sometimes before the actual storm hits, and we first see the signs of the storm approaching, we need to get to ourselves and steady ourselves in the word of God. Sometimes we have to steady ourselves in prayer and fasting. In the midst of storms, we have to allow the peace of God to anchor us and to steady us. If you keep reading on down about the 30th verse, we are introduced to the bow anchors. And the bow anchors are used to hold fast to rock. This lets us know that in the time of the storm, we have to grip Jesus. For he is our solid rock. We have to be sure that our anchor holds. Bell anchors represent our faith becoming real. We have to know that we know that we know who we serve. Storms, if they don't do anything else, they will change our perspective and shift our priorities. When we've been through a storm, we begin to value relationships. Storms help us to realize that stuff, things, they matter less than we value them. I just want to encourage you today, someone this morning, to know that the effect of the storm on your stuff, you got to remember that it's on your stuff. Well, it will not impact, have the same impact on you. Case in point, as we were watching the news and we began to see different things destroyed in the midst of the storm. You had some people, cars flooded, homes flooded. They went back, they couldn't find memorabilia, things that they held dear. But they had their lives. The storm may have swept somebody's stuff away. But the storm, it may have even swept somebody's memories away. The storm may have swept someone's car away. Someone's house may have been destroyed. The storm may have even messed up some finances. It may have interrupted some plans, delayed some dreams. The storm may have called some loved ones to walk away or turn their backs on you. But I want you to know this morning that the storm has built in you what can't be swept away. Storms are not sent to develop stuff. Storms are sent by God to develop us. Can I say that again? Storms are not sent to develop stuff. They're sent to develop us. Things will change in a storm. But there are four things that will never change. One thing that will never change in a storm is God's purpose. God's word decrees that he has a plan for you. A plan to prosper you and not to harm you and to give you hope and a future. God's purpose never changes in the midst of your storm. God's presence will never change in the midst of your storm. For the word of God decrees that, lo, I am with you even until the end of the world. That lets us know that we're never alone. We're never without. We're never left out. We're never forsaken. We're never forgotten. Lo, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. Another thing that will never change in the midst of your storm is God's peace. Now, this is the trick about the peace. His peace doesn't change. Sometimes we don't grab hold to his peace. For the word of God decrees that he will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him and who trusteth in him. Do I have anybody have a stayed mind on the Lord this morning? Anybody that's trusting in the Lord this morning? So there's one thing we should know. The third thing we should know is that his peace will never change in our storm. And to me, one of the most important things that will never change in a storm is God's power. God's power will never change in the midst of our storm. God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. All control is in his hands. God is the same today. He is the same yesterday. He'll be the same forevermore. So I want to encourage you today to know that God can take the broken pieces left by your storm. To get you to your expected destination. Yes. The 43rd and the 44th verses, we find them ending their journey. And they decided after throwing over everything they can get rid of. Some go ahead and jump in. And some hold on to broken pieces. But the word of God reports that they all made it safely. I don't care how you get to where you need to be. How many of you know that God is going to make sure you get there safely? I want you to know tonight, today, that there is nothing that we can experience that will take us from under the protection of God. There's nothing that can take us from out of the powerful hand of God. We ought to give him praise this morning because we know that he can bless us in the midst of our storms. God will use our storms to stabilize us. He will use our storms to take everything that we've been through to establish us. He will take your disappointments. God will take all your letdowns. He'll take all the hard times. I'm talking about all the broken pieces. I'm talking about all the things that's been swept away. God will take all those sleepless nights. God will take all your headaches. God will take all your worries. God will take everything and see you to your destination safely. I want you to know this morning that God has set up storms, assigned storms for your establishment. And when he establishes you, he sets you up permanently. Permanently. And oftentimes after the storm, after the rebuilding, we find ourselves better off than when we went in. So I want you to know today that God wants to establish you. He wants to protect you in this season of relief. The Lord wants you to know that he is your help. He wants you to turn to him. He wants you to lean on him. He wants you to know that he's the only help you know. He wants you to know that he'll never leave you. He wants you to know that he won't forsake you. He wants you to know that he can bring you out. He wants you to know that he can deliver you. He wants you to know that he can sustain you. He wants you to know that he'll provide for you. He wants you to know that he is your keeper in the midst of the storm. Thank you, Jesus. Because sometimes we get distracted with the stuff. It is the enemy's design to keep us focused on the stuff. If I can keep you worrying about your pockets, if I can keep you worrying about your bank account, he can keep your mind off of God. If he can keep you worrying with your children, worrying about your job, he can keep your mind off God. But I want you to know tonight that you got to fix your mind. You got a purpose in your heart that none of this stuff matters. And that at the end of the day, at the end of it all, my hope is in built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. The word says, I dare not trust a sweeter frame, but I'm going to wholly lean, on Jesus' name. For it's Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. all other ground is sinking sand. And then another songwriter went on to say that when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows, bro, whatever my lot, thou hast caused me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Somebody needs to know today that it's well. You've been struggling. You've been wrestling with it. But God says if you give it to me, it's well. God says don't worry about the conditions. God is the only one who can take something, take nothing, and make something. He's the only, he's the creator of all. Nothing is impossible for him. So I just want you to know this morning that the spirit of relief is here. And that there's purpose yet in your storms. Ride it out. Ride it out. Don't grow weary. Don't get faint. Because in due season, if you faint not, can we all stand? It's important for us to realize that this walk and this journey is not about us. And everything we experience is for the glory of God. As the deacons and the clergy are coming, someone may be saying,
he will bring you brand new
life. I heard your message.
New life abundantly.
But sister, you don't know what I've been going through. You don't know how I've been wrestling with this storm. But I want you to know this morning that Christ is your answer. If there's anyone here today who has not accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, we offer this invitation to you. There may be someone else among us saying, I just need that relief that you were talking about. The clergy, the deaconess, the minister, the deacons are standing here willing to touch and agree with you this morning.
You who are weary and heavy laden, oh come. Come on.
Know that your release and your relief is in Jesus.
You who are weary and heavy laden, oh come. Come on to Christ.
To Christ.